Good Shepherd Sermon for Sunday, August 23rd, 2015. Pastor Paul Tolbert.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
The history about this one is Jesus had been crucified, come back to life again, and the disciples had a hard time believing that. And so he showed them again and again and again. He did miracles. He kept on preaching and teaching, and they had just a hard time believing that. Peter probably did a lot of second-guessing of himself and his standing with God because Peter had denied him three times after, right to his face, saying, "Lord, I'll die with you." So then Jesus has an appearance to them on a shore, Galilee. They've been fishing all night, caught nothing. He did a miracle, created all sorts of fish in their net, and then way more than they would need, they came to shore and breakfast was already made. And they sat down and they started to eat. And then Jesus starts to ask Peter these questions. And what's really neat is how God just kind of bypasses any kind of fear he might have, and he just says, "Hey, I have this job for you to do." From John chapter 21. "So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' Peter said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' Jesus said to him, 'Tend my lambs.' Jesus said to him, again, a second time, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' Peter said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' Jesus said to him, 'Shepherd my sheep.'" Here ends our reading.
You know, it's one of the things that I travel and it's been on my heart as my kids get older is the idea that we have a pastor of our church and our congregation, and you have a great blessing in Pastor Tolbert. For all of us who have families, I would say to you what a pastor at a conference said to all the guys who are out there. He said, "Dads, pastor your family." Might say, "Moms and dads, pastor your family. Single mom, pastor your family. Bosses, pastor your workplace." Just dig into what it means to be the shepherd and to carry the heart of what Jesus put on Peter. "Feed my lambs. I want to see them all safely home." And the Bible is just so ripe with God's desire for all to know freedom in Christ. This song, "Safely Home," I wrote the night before my son was confirmed. My son Adam is here today. And just walking with him for 14 years and all the blessings that we had had, my prayer at that night was, "Lord, you know, whenever you decide to call him home, I pray that he will know you and that you will call him safely home." About 6 months ago, my dad revealed to the family that he has leukemia, and he's doing well, but that prayer and this song started to shift its focus a little bit to say, "Lord God, please bring my dad one day safely home." And then I started praying it about a whole bunch of other people, including myself. And so wherever you are, whether you're a mom and dad praying over your children or you're an older person and you're thinking, "I'm doing the praying, I'm not sure who's praying for me," I'm praying that all of us would sing this song that, "Lord, one day that he would bring us all safely home." The lyrics are printed out. If you'd like to sing along, please do. But otherwise, just, again, a song for your meditation and thought as we feed our the lambs that God has given us.
Plans you had for
Bible reading is taken from 1 Corinthians a letter written to a congregation that was jam-packed full of spiritual gifts. People could talk in languages they had never studied. People could translate languages they had never studied. People could do miracles. It's amazing things that were happening in this congregation. And they needed some direction on how to use those gifts for others instead of to pump up themselves. So the Lord told the Apostle Paul these words. He says, let them know. From 1 Corinthians chapter 12, now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. Here ends our reading.
We're going to share a song that I did not write. It's a song that we have done back at home in our home church by a group called Ren Collective. Has anybody ever heard of them before? A few of you? Okay. I've always liked this song, and I love the picture of the church. You know that the church is not a building, right? The church is the people. This is the church. You are the church. And one of the things, of course, that we pray is that the Lord would enlarge His church. Why? Not for our numbers, not for our buildings, and not for our designs, but that more and more people would come to know. We always call it the saving grace of Jesus Christ, but I was talking with Moans a little bit about some of the things that we see in your communities. When you drive around town, what breaks your heart? You and I all know what it means to experience brokenness because we are all broken. That's what sin does. But we also know the source of healing in Jesus Christ. And that is the greatest desire for us to be coming together as a church, using our different skill sets to be able to what? Let people know that there is a God who is greater than their brokenness, a place where they can find healing and rest, forgiveness, and hope. And so this song has a lot of passion to it, if you've ever heard it. And so you guys are doing great singing. And so now I'm kind of curious to see whether we can clap and sing at the same time. So I've already got, all the kids are shaking their heads. No. You guys should have this locked down. We were in West End yesterday, and we asked them if they could sing and clap at the same time, and they could. And here's the deal. We were in Rochester, Minnesota. Not that there's a rivalry in Minnesota and Wisconsin, never. But they were able to clap and sing too. But no, in all seriousness, this is a song that has emotion to it. And this is a song that just has that desire to say, yes, Lord. The prayer in the music, the prayer in our words is build your kingdom here. So I'm going to sing the refrain and then have you guys sing it back so that we can participate in this song together. Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand, heal our streets and land, set your church on fire, win this nation back, change the atmosphere, build your kingdom here, we pray. Let's try it together. Build your kingdom here, let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand, heal our streets and land. Set your church on fire, win this nation back. Change the atmosphere, build your kingdom here. So, just a real quick note on this. We're not asking God to set our church building on fire. We're asking God, just make us awake. Make us alive to the opportunity the joy, not the burden to go out and talk to the world about Jesus, but the joy that we have to be able to share Jesus with people. So if you can read the screen, I understand if you need to read it because it's hard to read the screen, but if you can read the screen, put your bulletin down so you can clap with us, all right? And I think I asked for permission. Is it okay if we clap? Okay, it's not your church. It's God's church. So God said yes. And if you're at home, you know, seriously, participate in the worship part of it thing. Turn your speakers up and clap with us from all over the world. All right. Charlie will be able to help us set tempo a little bit, and I will help with the tambourine. Take a look at these words. This is our prayer together. Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil why we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze and glow like wildfire in our very soul. Holy Spirit, come invade us now. We are your church. We need your love. Your kingdom first, we hunger and we thirst. We choose to waste our lives for your joy and pride. To see the captive hearts in need, the hurt, the sick, the poor at ease. We lay down our lives for heaven's cause. What? We are your church. We pray, revive this earth.
California and Texas. Children, we have a children's devotion up here, which is why that thing in the red is up there, just so you're aware. It's from this part of God's word. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 10. The Lord said to me, assemble the people before me, and I will let them hear my words so that they may learn to fear me all the days they live on the earth and may instruct their children. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our defender. Amen. All right, children, I invite you to come up here for a brief children's devotion. All the brave souls. Hi. Hi. A little bit scared. I think, yeah, that's all right. All right, I have here, what is this? It's a puzzle, okay? I'm going to show you something that's really cool. When your parents teach you how to do puzzles, okay, first of all, how cool is that? What does this mean? Why do they have this like this? Find the pieces and put them there. Yeah, okay. All right, that's good. Thank you. All right, there we go. All right, so I should put this one on. Why are you giggling? It's upside down. It's upside down. Okay, I'll turn it around like that, right?
No.
Can't see. So guess what? Your parents have to, first of all, tell you that there is a front side and a back side. A front and a back side to this. Oh, so here it is. All right, so now this goes right there. Oh, that's good. That's good. And I got another one here. Oh, that one? Okay. That one. Oh, red. I like the color red. I'll put that down there with the flowers. What's wrong with that? I need to put it up? The up corner. So they have to teach you that there's some places that are corners. So your parents had to teach you that there's a smooth side, a picture side, and corners, and there's shapes. And they go in certain places. And if I have a really hard time, I can use this picture to find where it would fit. Where would that fit? Right there. Oh, there it goes. All right. So you want to help me put the rest of this together right here for right now? Because your parents did this, right, when they were teaching you. Do you, any of you remember your parents teaching how to do puzzles? I don't remember one of mine. I don't really. I always just kind of knew. Yeah, and then what happens is these are simple puzzles, and then there's harder puzzles. And I need to share something with you. Oops, you got it? Here we go. Something really cool. You ready? All the time that you were telling me to do this, did you know what was not there? None of you were yelling at me. You were just showing me what to do. You giggled, you made it kind of fun, and you said, well, no, you got to do this, you got to do that. There it goes right there. That's right. And this one goes here. There we are. Get the wheels on the bottom. There we go. Right there. Good job. See, that's what I mean. That's what your parents did. They took the time, and they taught you these things. I know. We'll have to work at that. You know what? We'll work at this afterwards. I want to share with you one more thing that they did. When your parents told you all of these things, they made sure that you would understand. And guess what? That's because they know how you think. They know if you're paying attention. They know if you're not paying attention. And look at that. Just like that. We're all done. Guess what? Now that you know how to do puzzles, you know how to do puzzles, and you can do any kind of puzzle whatsoever. It's as far as it gets. So that's, you did it. Yay. This is how God says he wants parents to teach children. You don't know everything about God. No, I don't know everything about God, but what I do know, I teach. I taught my children, and when you get older, the Lord says he wants you to teach your children, and you do it like a puzzle. You say, you know, when you're real little, you don't know much about Jesus. You need to know something. You need to know he took away your sins. When you get a little bit older, what does that mean? Well, all those naughty things that you do, what's a naughty thing that a child would do? What's a naughty thing? disobey your mom and dad, yeah, your mother and father. What's another thing? It's the kind of naughty, yeah? When your mom and dad say not to get dirty, and you just get dirty. I don't know. That always happened to me. All the time, Austin, yeah. Yeah. So what happens is, whenever we do the things that mom and dad say don't do, that's a naughty thing. And God says, I took that away. I want you to relax. Because I, the loving Lord God, love you so much. I want you in heaven with me. Piece by piece, you're going to learn that. Piece by piece. So today, you're going to get something to take home with you. And it's something you can do with a friend. And when you're doing it with your friend, then what you can do is you can say, you know, I got this thing at church. And they'll say, you got a puzzle from church? How come you got a puzzle from church? Just tell them, it's to remind me that my parents are teaching me bit by bit how great God is, and they're using the Bible to do that. And you're going to have fun putting together the puzzle, okay? Let's fold our hands. By the way, you know why you fold hands? Because when I was a little boy, I used to get in trouble because if I didn't fold my hands, I'd always be poking people, and my mom would say, fold your hands, lock your fingers, bow your head, close your eyes. Dear Jesus, thank you for taking away my sins. Thank you for giving me moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas and a whole bunch of grown-ups who know Jesus better than me. And thank you for telling me all about yourself through them. Amen. And now, here you go. Take a puzzle and pass it back. Take a puzzle and pass it back. Here you go. Take a puzzle. There you go. And they're sealed. You know why they're sealed? So you don't play with it in church. Yeah. All right. Here you go. Here you go. Here's one for you. Here's one for you. Here you go. You got some more. You got some more. You're welcome. What good manners. See? There you go. All right. All right. There we go. Now, for any children out there who were not quite brave enough to come up here, these are up here for you to have afterwards, so don't worry. Bruce always said he was going to do that one day. Right now, we are looking at God's Word. In the last book of the first five books of the Bible, Deuteronomy, it says, the Lord said to me, assemble the people before me, and I will let them hear my words so that they may learn to fear me all the days they live on the earth and may instruct their children. That's a lot of words on one screen, so we're going to break it down a little bit. The Lord said to me, assemble the people before me. He says, bottom line, come before me. So, first question is, who's talking? The Lord. Well, who's this Lord? He tells us who he is. He's not just God Almighty coming down to judge the planet. He's not just, oh, you're okay. You're okay. I'm okay. We're okay. He's not a, well, that's all right. You do that right now. We'll take care of it later. He's not that kind of a God either. He is way more than any of our little pigeonholes of him. He says he is the Lord, and he says he is the gracious and compassionate God, which means he gives us what we don't deserve. He is slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Forgiving. Now we know how that took place. A lot of agony on a cross outside of Jerusalem when Jesus suffered and died in our place. But he didn't stay dead. Showing mercy to thousands of those who love him and keep his commandments is what the Lord says. come before me. Well, it says the Lord, all right, well, I got who's talking. Now, who is he first talking to? He's talking to Moses. Who's Moses? Well, he's an 80-year-old nobody on the run from the law down in Egypt. He was happily married in retirement, taking care of a bunch of sheep. And the Lord said, my plan to rescue my people is right now. And so what happened? Is God called to him from a burning bush that didn't burn up and told him to take his people, God's people, out of Egypt, out of slavery, remove them from the most powerful nation on earth, and don't do it with an army. Do it because I am sending you, and I will be with you. Well, after it was all done, this is the Moses who saw everything that God did. The 10 plagues that destroyed the most powerful nation on earth had been powerful for over 1,000 years, crushed, because they refused to listen to the Lord God. This is the Moses who stood in front of a sea, and God says, go forward. And Moses says, I can't. The people are going to kill me. And God says, take your walking stick, put it out over, and watch what I'm going to do. And he split the seas, and he sent a wind so they could go through on dry ground so the kids didn't have to worry about getting yelled at by their moms and dads going back in the tents with the muddy feet. It's an incredible thing that God does. This is a mighty God. And he chose to talk to Moses, and now he says to Moses, assemble the people before me. I want you to notice something. It's God who initiates everything. This is what the Lord said. He said, assemble the people before me. This is what you are to do, Moses. Get them to me. It was God's idea. It's God's words. It's God's plan. And so Moses said, okay. But it's more than that. He says, the Lord said to me, assemble the people before me, and I will let them hear my words. I'm thinking that the first time you read that, it kind of slipped over your mind. I will let them hear my words. If you're watching on the internet, this is coming to you from America, from Middle America. America is known for independent spirit. We pull up ourselves by our own bootstraps. We are initiators and entrepreneurs. God says, when you stand before him, you got no rights. On your own, you have nothing. We don't have a right to hear God's word. It is an incredible blessing. And the Lord said, assemble the people before me, and I will let them hear my words. God wants to bless us. So he has this whole plan in place, and he wants us to hear his words. He wants us to be blessed. And what words does he tell us? Sometimes he tells us stuff we don't like to hear. Stop using your potty mouth. Treat your spouse with respect. Show respect to those who are older than you. Take care of the young. Do not dismiss them. Honor, treasure my gift of life. Honor and treasure my gift of marriage. And don't throw it all down the toilet. Don't spread gossip. Be content. We don't like to hear that part. We like to hear the part where God, he loves us and God wants us, but we don't like to hear the part that we don't measure up to God. But this is part of the blessing of being blessed by God's word. A former president of ours here in America, his name is, well, you know who he is. He's President Jimmy Carter. We call him Jimmy Carter. And I don't care if you are a Democrat or Republican. I don't care if you're a liberal or conservative. You need to know something about what President Carter did. President Carter is a human being. He happens to be a Christian, an overt Christian. He's a Sunday school teacher. And he went to the doctor. And the doctor told the former president some bad news. You got cancer. I have to take a knife. I have to cut you open. I have to cut out that cancer. I am certain that he did not want to hear that. I am also certain that he had to hear that. And when they cut him open and took out the cancer and sewed him back up again, the doctor came into his room again and he told him some more bad news. Guess what? That cancer has spread. So now you have to have another kind of treatment that we have to slow down the spread. I am also certain President Carter did not want to hear those words. But guess what? Before you can get the help, you need to know the problem. Before you and I understand God's grace, we need to understand what we are as sinners. And God says, assemble the people before me, and I will let them hear my words. The good physician, the good shepherd, he is going to let us hear his words. So we're going to hear every time we go to God's word. We're going to hear, I don't measure up. I'm not good enough. And every time we go to God's word, God will also say, I measure up and I'm good enough for you. But it's not just this. It's not just to be blessed, because that'd be just like, you know, what good is that? It just sits there. And God does not want us to sit. He says that they may learn to fear me all the days they live on the earth and may instruct their children. God wants us to be blessed, and then God wants us to bless. What does that mean? That they may learn to fear me means the better we get to know God, the better we take care of each other. The better we get to know God, the better we understand how God has some kind of a plan for me, although I don't know what it is at the moment. But God does have some kind of a plan for me, and it is a plan to bless me. He's already told me that. And so as I do my life, as I live my life, getting to know God better, guess what? I'm a better spouse. I'm a better dad. I'm a better son. I'm a better employee. I'm a better employer. Why? Because I am not working for right in front of me. I'm working for my Lord, who has blessed me with all these different avenues to give him glory. And when I blow it, when I botch it, the Lord says, I forgive you. Forgive others as I have forgiven you. Wow. That they may instruct their children. You know, as people are looking at you and how you're living, they'll see how you are, they'll see how you behave, they'll see how you talk, and they'll listen to you. But there is nothing like watching a mom or a dad teach their children. You know, when school is here, my wife is the principal of the school, the teacher, and I was always amazed because she just knew stuff about these kids that I didn't know. And that's because she knew the parents better than I did, and they would let her know little things about their kids. How can you tell when your child is doing really, really the best? Well, they can snow me pretty good. They have a hard time pulling the wool over Mrs. T's eyes because Mrs. T is in constant communication with her parents, and they know that. You and I have been blessed to bless. When he got up this morning, God had in mind to bless you with his word so that you will be a blessing. When my children were growing up, both my wife and I came from good German stock Lutheran, which meant that you didn't really crack a smile, definitely no clapping in church, you know, that kind of a thing. It's just how you grew up. It was just not done. Well, what happens is we knew that we had to go to church on Sunday. We just knew that. Church, Sunday school, that was a given. Christian day school, for both of us, it was a given. Well, what happened is that we both realized that, you know, if our children are going to grow up healthy in the Lord, that attitude has to change from a duty to a joy. And so before we tucked them in at night on Saturday night, we would say, time to go to bed. And they'd say, like every child before them, including yours truly, Mom, I don't want to go to bed. I'm just, whatever it is I'm doing, it was more important than going to bed. And we would say to our children, we get to go to church tomorrow. You need your rest. It's a privilege. When God says, assemble the people, that is a privilege. What you're doing right now is a privilege. And we know that more than anybody else. If you're in the world watching this, you need to know that there are some countries that do not let this happen. We regularly pray for Pastor Saeed Abedini. Why? Because he's an American pastor in jail in Iran for doing what I'm doing right now. We have the privilege of being brought into God's presence to be blessed by him and then turn around and bless others. So in his name, so let us live this week. Amen.